Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. I hope everybody is doing good today. Do we have any announcements this morning? Mary Beth?
On 7, the order form is in here. They're running low. They suspect. I ordered 25. We usually have the 20, 25, 30. So, if I need to add more, then I need to get this in as soon as I can before I run the out. They're 8-inch real full ready. And mark the check for 0.7 so we can keep up with the place.
Brothers, yeah.
any more announcements?
Yes. There is a session meeting this evening, so if you want to remember that. Also, Christmas caroling this Wednesday, 5:50. We want to invite you to come out and take part in that with us. We had a wonderful time last year, and I know it's going to be a lot of fun this year. And looks like it might be a little cooler, so it's going to be really good weather for hot chocolate when we get back here. So, it's going to be fun.
If you'll please register your attendance, I think the attendance registers are in the pews. And if there are no other announcements, let's pause for a moment to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord as we light our candles this morning. Do we have any prayer requests this morning?
How about the people that went through the hurricane Sandy? I mean, there are a lot of misplaced people still.
I have a prayer
request.
Okay. We welcome those.
Anyone who ever thought God is dead, God is alive, I tell you. God is not dead in collegiate sports. God is alive in collegiate sports. I saw it on the High School Trophy Award last night. All three candidates for that award mentioned God in their lives and how He had directed them and guided them in playing collegiate sports, and particularly football. He is alive. God's alive. And be glad that we still have parents who teach their children to God. Jesus, and they carried on in their sports life.
I'd like to remember those families that came yesterday. Sonia is part of outreach. We did the food boxes and clothes and people donated toys and just all different kinds of things for folks to shop when they came in. Yesterday was the first time I had been as part of the receiving end as people came in. In the past, I've donated and done things like that, but had never been there. It was very humbling. It was just a very humbling experience to see these people shopping, as we would shop at Macy's, and they were very appreciative of everything that we did. So just remember them this time of the year and throughout the year as they still struggle with different things. But it was very humbling, very worthwhile experience for ministry. Mm-hmm. Any other prayer concerns?
Just continue to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Major.
I have a childhood friend that I grew up with that we all. I have several of those. We've stayed very close. He lives in Duluth, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. His little 5-year-old grandson passed away on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson has had. I followed his journey, and I feel very sad.
Nice.
Thank you.
keep Christy Young, our friend who went back into the hospital just recently, because she has been released and still having to heal up from, they disconnected the large intestine from the small intestine, and she's only using the small intestine right now, so she has 3 months with that and then goes back into surgery again. So, okay. Keep your heart.
Any others?
I have a friend, she's just 20 years old, her name's Tori, and she's supposed to be married in like a year, and just found out she has cervical cancer, mm-hmm. and they think it's in some other places.
Mm-hmm. Please put these requests on the pew cards too, so we can be sure we get them on our prayer list.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, as we pray for these that have been lifted up today, we ask, Lord, that that grace would just be abundant in their lives and overshadow them and uphold them by your mighty power. Lord, we thank you for all those lives we were able to touch yesterday and through the outreach ministry. And Lord, we thank you that Jenkins is able to do ministry like that. Lord, increase our sphere of reach, that we can touch so many more people. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in and through the lives of this church. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for these that we have the opportunity to pray for this morning. Lord, to know that your hand is at work, even in the lives of these that are on our long-term prayer list, Lord. You have been working in their lives and helping in every way. And Lord, we continue to look for you. We continue to look to you and put our trust in you and declare, Father, that you are our healer. You are our deliverer and our friend. Lord, may we worship you today in spirit and in truth. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' holy blessed name. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Shine on.
and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won. Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are little to be among the clans of Judea. Yet out of you shall one come forth for me, who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from ancient days, eternity. Therefore shall he give them up until the time that she has travels has brought forth. Then what is left of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. And they shall dwell secure, for then shall he be great, even to the ends of the earth, as this one shall be our peace.
We stand as we sing number 120.
We
Hear these words from Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The problem that we encounter is that many times our ways do not please the Lord. God has peace for us. His desire is that peace would reign, that it would be abundant in our lives. But sometimes we miss His peace. And we know we do. We know. Sometimes we just fail to follow His ways, to express our faith that it may be the way we want to, the way we should. We are oftentimes like Paul, who says, the thing I wanted to do, I didn't do. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. And let's give those things to Him. Let's make sure that our ways are pleasing to Him. Let's pray. Father God, hear our prayers today. We come to You to confess that we need You, to confess that our ways, oftentimes they don't please You. And so now we offer our silent prayers, our own prayers of confession, and ask, Lord God, that You would wash us by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You hear our prayers. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen.
I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness. If our ushers would please come forward.
Difficulties in this life.
Y'all can be seated. It's now children's time with Miss Mary Jo. So children, you want to come on up?
Peace. Jesus. So remember that this week as we light our candle. Come and help me. You'll come help me? Come on. I'm going to let you come right here. Can you help me light this candle?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here, you hold my hand and we'll light it.
No.
Okay, hold my hand. Let me hold my hand. There we go.
I got to
Oh, well, good job. Oh, thank you. Now, we're not going to blow it out to the end. So we have the candle of hope, and now we have the candle of peace. And who came to bring us peace? The Prince of Peace? Who was that?
Jesus.
Very good. Okay. I want y'all to think about Hophni's. And half of the cow this week, and how upset they were that their home got all messed up. Okay, we're going to have a song. I need you to be very quiet, because I think we're going to have a special song right now.
Okay, today we have two in the world, and kids and then leaders.
Okay.
And this one, first time she will sing first verse, and then we'll sing the same verse together, okay? And you need to
okay, everybody stand if you dare stand.
Thank you, Miss Mary Jo. The Lord bless the children.
Bless the children.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Hear the reading of God's Word. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. I remember all the little children's plays that I was involved in as a kid, and every play that we've ever had at any church that I've served. And man, I mean, just think about all the children's plays you've ever seen. I never thought about it, but I wish that we had had one play, at least one, where in the background we had, you know, maybe erected some kind of high bar with ropes thrown over it, and all the, like, say 100 children connected to the ropes so that we could pull them up in the air and lower them down, and they could all be going up and down sort of like this, you know, and singing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And, you know, because those were the lines that I always remember being the most important in the Christmas play. Right? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I just think, man, what a production that would be. All these kids, screaming kids. Let me down. I don't want to sing. But no, it could be nice. But think about it. I mean, that was a glorious experience to have for these shepherds to be out in the field and to have this visitation and see all these angels and hear these heavenly voices and this song that's being delivered to the earth. This proclamation. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. That's the way that I grew up with it. It was always peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I really grew up with the idea that we're really supposed to have peace on earth. That somehow we've got to have peace on earth. And there's a whole lot of people in our world that are consumed with that idea that we've got to have peace on earth. No matter who we have to shut up to get it. And so I guess that when I think about how the world sees Christmas, and for those that don't even, you know, believe in the Lord or anything, but everybody buys into that Christmas theme of peace on earth. And a lot of what's going on in our world and a lot of what's being propagated is in the name of peace on earth. If you follow this political party, you'll have peace on earth. That's what we're fighting for, you know. If you want to win the beauty pageant, you need to stand up and say that you want peace on earth. You know, or whatever it may be. I mean, this world is sort of promoting that idea, and people are looking for peace on earth. But somehow I think that people really do think that we could achieve it. We could do it. And we're never going to do it, are we? There's not a government on the face of the earth that can grow strong enough and have a strong enough military might to enforce peace on earth. There's not one government, there's not one military, there's not one, there's not anything that we could put our faith in and belief in that's run by man that's going to produce peace. And yet it seems like we spend a lot of dollars and we spend a lot of time and we argue a lot of arguments and points and thinking that maybe we might get there somehow. But look at verse 14. Because apparently the King James Version was a good rendering of it, but it really wasn't rendering it the way it was intended to be understood. Because the angel wasn't saying that God is going to bring peace on earth, at least right now. The angels were singing that on earth there would be peace among those
with whom he is pleased. Peace among those who are spreading his good will, who believe on his name, who put their trust in him. Jesus came to this earth, the scripture says, not to bring peace, but a sword. Because he knew that if people would choose to believe in him, that it would not bring everybody together, but it would actually have the power, while producing peace in the heart of the one person, to separate them from their family, who would reject them and ridicule them and scorn them and maybe even try to kill them because of their faith in the Lord. The peace that Jesus came to bring on earth and that the angels were talking about is really the peace that is shed abroad in our hearts as Christians. If at all, he's really referring to total peace on earth where there's no military conflict, look to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because in that time, there will be peace on earth. In that day, the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the children will play with the cobra. Even the creatures of earth will be at peace and have no fear of anyone. There will be no resistance. There'll be nothing to stand in the way. It will be a time of total peace on earth. But if you're looking for peace on earth before Jesus comes back, it's a noble thing to pray for. We're told in Scripture to pray for the peace of Israel. To pray that God's people would be protected. Those are noble things and good things to pray for. But Scripture bears out that we're always going to be living in a time of war and rumors of war. We're going to be living in a time where there's going to be perilous times, and the love of many is going to grow cold, and we're living in the times where there will be antichrist. There's an antichrist spirit that's at work in the world, and that antichrist idea is the idea that of someone to replace Jesus. Someone to take his place. And the scripture says, and this is not up on your board, we'll stay focused on verse 14 for a while because we're coming back to that. But if you look in your Bibles at Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25, it talks somewhat about this prophetic word that reveals a little bit about the Antichrist that is coming. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 through 25. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so it will be a little bit different from what you've got. And at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors, the apostate Jews, have reached the fullness of their wickedness, taxing the limit of God's mercy, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark trickery and craftiness shall stand up. Verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall corrupt and destroy astonishingly, and shall prosper and do his own pleasure, and he shall corrupt and destroy the mighty men and the holy people, the people of the saints. And through, this is verse 25, and through his policy he shall cause trickery to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart and mind. And in their security, some versions render that word as peace. In a time of peace, he will corrupt and destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, that by no human hand. So the good news is that everything that the scripture has to tell us about the end of days is the good news is that Jesus wins. Jesus is triumphant. The Prince of Princes will destroy the Antichrist. That's the good news. But notice that in the midst of this, and there's other scriptures to bear this out, and I didn't take time to put all those, bring all those before you today, but scripture indicates that this person, in his, when he rises up, that he'll be bringing peace. There'll be a time when people will dwell securely, and they'll think that he solved the Middle East problems. They'll think that he solved those kinds of issues. And that he's really the one that can bring peace. You know, here's the other thing. Scripture bears out that this Antichrist will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that today, in Jerusalem, Jews are saying that the Messiah, when the Messiah does come back, they know he's not Jesus, but when the Messiah does come back, we'll know he's the Messiah because he's going to rebuild the temple. That's what they're saying. That's what Jews will tell you. They're in Jerusalem. Probably not all of them, but many of them will tell you the Messiah, when he comes back, will know it's the Messiah because he's going to rebuild the temple. Some people think that the Dome on the Rock is built on the temple site, but it's really not. The temple site is right next to the Dome on the Rock. And guess what? There's nothing built there. It's just empty ground. There's no building there at all right now. So, you know, Scripture's going to come to pass exactly the way the Scripture says it will come to pass. There's not one jot or one tittle that won't happen exactly the way it's revealed in Scripture. Problem is that we just don't understand it all. And we're not going to try to unfold it all today. But here's the deal. The reason I bring up this Antichrist spirit is that this Antichrist spirit is always promising peace. What was Hitler trying to do? Wasn't he trying to build the perfect society? Wasn't he trying to create the perfect human race? Just give me time and let me kill everybody I want to kill, and we'll have peace on earth. Don't you believe me? What the scripture's saying is that people are going to be sucked in. People are going to be gullible. And because they are looking for peace on earth, because what they're really looking for is peace in their own hearts and in their own lives, they're going to be sucked in and believe in this man. And the scripture says, even the very elect, some of the very elect, will be swayed. Isn't that interesting? Why? Well, one of the reasons is because of this whole notion of world peace. And the scripture that we're reading today plainly tells us that the peace that Jesus came to bring is the peace among those with whom He's pleased. And who is the Lord pleased with? Hebrews chapter 11 says that it's those who walk in faith. That's what pleases God. It says basically that you can't please God any other way. There's no other way to please God than to trust Him, than to believe. The peace that God has come to bring is the peace that dawns in our heart. That is there, that's constantly there, even though we're upset. Even though we're still going through tough times. Even though there are storms around us. And there's stuff going on. And even when there's bad things that happen, even when we're upset physically, emotionally, we calm down at some point. And what's there? What's left? when everything's been taken away from us and there's nothing else, what's left? There's the peace of God. There's the knowledge that we belong to Him. He bought us with a price. We're not our own. He lives within us. And even if everything else is taken away, I have a heavenly home. Everything else can be taken. Even my life can be taken. But no one can separate my spirit from the love of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that good? I mean, there's a peace that is in our hearts today because God dwells within us. It's a peace that's there even in the storms of life. And we all can attest to that. Even when we're worried about the bills and we're worried about how we're going to make ends meet, at the end of the day, we go into our prayer closet and we pray and we know God will see us through. We're not walking through this world alone. There's a peace, a constant knowledge of the presence of God that sustains us, that helps us. Isn't that wonderful good news? So, while we may not have world peace, really no hope of world peace, until the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there is a way that we can spread the peace of God throughout the world. And it's through our witness. Because the way the peace of God is shown to the world is through telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. And there's really no other way. If we want to spread Christmas cheer this season, the best way that we could spread it would be through our witness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, telling people what He's done for us, about how the struggles of life came, and we didn't necessarily make all the right decisions, but it didn't matter because at the end of the day, Jesus is there in my heart and He sustains me. He's my strength. And I know that everything's going to be okay. The disciples in their ministry with Jesus, they were out on the boat one day. I think they were on the Sea of Galilee and there was a storm and they were rowing with all their might and they couldn't make any headway and they felt like their lives were in danger. They felt certain that they were about to lose their lives and Jesus was asleep. How do you sleep in the midst of the storm? Except that you are the Prince of Peace. But you know what? We can sleep in the midst of the storm. The Scripture says that God gives His beloved sleep. We can sleep in the midst of the storm because the Prince of Peace dwells within us. Well, they went and they woke Jesus up and they said, Jesus, we need your help. Don't you care? We're about to die. And His response was, oh, you of little faith. And He got up and He assessed the situation and said, peace, be still. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happened after that, but I'd like to think that he went back over and laid down and said, now y'all shut up, start rowing. No, I'm sure that's not what happened. But the point is still the same. In the midst of the struggle, the things that are going on in our life are a lot like the storm that those disciples found themselves in. And Jesus stands up in the middle of our storm and He says, basically, what He was trying to say to the disciples was, use your faith. Take that little faith that you've got and use it in a big way. Trust me. And he speaks the words, peace be still, and everything's calm. But in the calmness of everything, the disciples still had to take hold of oars, or whatever it was they had. Hoist the sail. You don't have wind, you got to have oars. And they rowed that boat to shore. You got to live your life. God's not going to live it for you. We got to make decisions and choices. But to put our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to know the Prince of Peace is there in our life, and that His peace will go way beyond our understanding of how things ought to be, of how things could be accomplished, of what should be done. His peace will reign in our hearts and our minds. And He says, I just want you to trust in me. How is anybody going to be able to withstand the storm without the peace of Christ? Some people don't make it. Some people take it into their own hands, and it just doesn't work out for them. This time of year, it's not the time to just snuggle up in our house and around the tree and just think of family. It's the time of year to reach out to the world, to people who don't have any peace, who don't know the principles, and share the good news. This is what's made the difference in my life. It's Jesus. And He can make the difference in yours too. I'm going to ask our musicians to come as you're coming. If there's someone here in this place and you don't know peace, His name is Jesus. I would ask that you would prayerfully consider asking Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If you're in the midst of the storm, don't give up. Because the Prince of Peace is there, and He is speaking the words to us. Peace be still. He has given us His peace. And this place is a place of ministry. And if you need prayer this morning, we'll pray together. And we'll ask the Prince of Peace who's here in this place to come and help in our time of need. And He will. Whatever your need may be. I'm going to ask that you would stand, and we're going to sing, There Is a Name I Love to Hear. It's the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. Number 102.
Jesus, there's just something about that
something about your name, and it's that your name is the name of all authority. It's the name above all names. Your name is powerful and precious. You are our Redeemer, and you are our Prince of Peace. Rule and reign in our hearts and lives, and may we share that peace with everyone for your glory, for your name's sake. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.